And I've had churches where people really, really listened and said, this is for me. I'm going to take advantage of this. I'm going to do something about this. And then I've had others that really didn't have any intention of changing. You know, as I look at you, I imagine that I have basically the same situation. I have some that are really going to take this in, and they're going to say, I need to do something about this. I need to make some changes, or whatever. And then we have others that it will just wash over you like a little breeze and make no change, whatever. You know what I would rather have? Is I would rather have the situation that everyone that listens with a view to your own improvement. And you want to take this and say, I'm going to make use of this. I want to make use of this for my benefit. I want to improve. Now, if you don't do that, I have discharged my responsibility. But I take no satisfaction, except, yes, I have discharged my responsibility, but I would take a lot more satisfaction if I could see evidence that you were making changes. So that's what I would like. As far as what I would like. I want to warn you. I want to give some warnings this morning. And we have a lot of young people. Really and truly, you know, as we look out. And I'm not sure how far down I'm going to include the young people. Anyone who can intelligently follow my voice and listen to what I'm saying, I'm including you. I want to begin with a warning. And this one is one that has been in my mind for decades now. Since it happened. So I want you to go with me for a moment. And this happened back in North Alabama. There was a game, and there was a woman who was driving home, and it was dark, and the fog was all out, all over the place. So she was driving home with her daughter and another friend. So they were coming along, and they came to the highway there. And there used to be a bridge across that highway. But they had put a little warning up, but it wasn't a very adequate warning. So as you're coming along there, you need to go this way, but you could go that way if you're not careful. It wasn't marked very well. Well, this lady in the dark, she wasn't seeing what she was doing well, and so she took the wrong turn. And in my mind, I've always been able to remember that and to imagine the way it looked. And the bank of the Warrior River is high there. And in the dark, when she came to that fork, she took the wrong fork, the one which was not supposed to be used anymore. And it just horrifies me to think she didn't know how much time she had. And she suddenly plunged off into that cold, dark, black river. And she was killed. And those with her were killed. Now, if she had known what is up ahead, Do you think she would have said, I'm not going to go that way? Now listen, what I'm going to tell you today are some things that are up ahead of you. All of you kids that are able to listen, and you young men and women who are able to listen, I want to warn you of some things that are ahead. I know she wouldn't have done that if she had only known. And I'm so sorry about that. So I think about that a lot. Now there are some warnings in Scripture that I'm going to start with. Proverbs 1, verses 8 through 19. So either read or listen carefully as I read. Now the instruction here is directed to a son. And the idea is a son who has a father who is teaching him. So please, if you are a daughter, make the point that I'm going to give heed to this. I'm going to heed the fatherly instructor, because that's the identity he takes. My son, hear the instruction of your father. Don't forsake the law of your mother. They shall be a chaplet of grace under thy head, and chains about your neck. That's a decorative chain, okay? One that beautifies. And chains about your neck. My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. Don't go along with them. Consent thou not. If they say, come with us, let us lay wait for blood. Let us lurk privily for the innocent without cause. Let us swallow them up alive as Sheol, and whole as those that go down to the pit. We shall find all precious substance. We shall fill our houses with spoil. And thou shalt cast thy lot among us. We will all have one purse. By the way, I never have trusted much in sharing a purse with thieves. And so the writer knows exactly what he's doing here. You shall cast your lot among us. We will all have one purse. My son, walk not thou in the way with them. Refrain your foot from their path, for their feet run to evil, and they make haste to shed blood. For in vain is the net spread in the side of any bird. In other words, can't you tell? Can't you tell what's going on? Be wise and don't fall for it. So I want to tell all you young people, be aware. Know what's going on around you. For these lay in wait for their own blood. They lurk privily for their own lives. I'm going to turn the page now, chapter 4, verses 20 through 27. My son, attend to my words. Incline your ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. Keep your heart with all diligence. All right. Some of you remember this because you studied it. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Put away from thee a wayward mouth, and perverse lips put far from thee. Let thine eyes look right on, and let thine eyelids look straight before thee. Make level the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. Turn not to the right hand, or to the left. Remove your foot from evil. So, these are just a few of the warnings that we can find in the Bible. In 1 Corinthians 10, I want to read a few more verses. 1 Corinthians 10, beginning in verse 6. Now these things were our examples, to the intent that we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. What Paul does here is give a series of examples from the Old Testament of people who did not walk the path. They did not live the way they should have. These things were our examples to the intent that we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. Neither be ye idolaters as were some of them, as it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. And that was while they were still at Mount Sinai. Neither let us commit fornication as some of them committed and fell in one day, 23,000. Neither let us make trial of the Lord as some of them made trial and perished by the serpents as they were traveling up to enter into the promised land. Neither murmur ye as some of them murmured and perished by the destroyer. Now these things happened unto them by way of example, and they were written for our admonition or for our warning. So we can see these examples. Now, what are you thinking? What are you thinking when I've read these examples? Are you taking them in? Are you thinking, these are for me? Or are you saying, I'm not going to pay any attention to that. That's not for me. I have nothing to do with it. If you decide you're going to have nothing to do with it, you're going to have nothing to do with it. And you know what that's going to get you? It will get you destruction. So let me go ahead and make some points now. Many factors enter into the life you have lived thus far. No matter what your age, but especially if you were in the younger years of your life. Many factors enter into the life you have lived thus far. Listen to this carefully. Some young adults have seen before them parents who sacrifice little to do right and ignore the Lord regularly. If that has been your experience, I am very sorry. Your parents have the obligation to set before you an example, a good example. And I regret that. But some young adults have seen before them parents who sacrifice little to do right. They ignore the Lord regularly. They have been taught little, if anything, of the sober warnings that are found in Scripture. They just haven't been taught. Now, parents, what you need to think about is how are our children going to know if they haven't been taught? Am I going to meet responsibility when I don't teach them? And the answer is yes. Yes, I will answer to God Almighty. I will answer to Him. In Deuteronomy, turning back here to Deuteronomy chapter 6. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, Moses instructs the people. Hear, O Israel, beginning in verse 4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord,
And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be upon thy heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children. Well, when am I going to do that? You shall talk with them when you sit in the house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. That means at all occasions. Parents, when you drive down the highway, what do? Do you have a little video thing up there so that the kids can watch that and be amused and not be taught a thing and not learn a thing? Do you ever teach them stories? Do you tell them the mighty works of God? If you don't, I want to encourage you to do that. You will pay a price if you don't. You will pay a price two ways. One, you will pay a price to God. But the second is, you will pay a price when you see what it does to your children. When you don't teach them. Thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children. Talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thy hand, and they shall be for frontlets between thine eyes, and thou shalt write them upon the doorpost of thy house and upon thy gates. Keep it before thee. That's what he's saying. Keep it before you. Let it always be on your mind. Oh, I hope you will do that. I hope you have done it. But I hope you will do it. If you're not doing it, do it. But I don't know the Bible. Well, what is the solution for that? Study. Read. Study. Read. Study it for yourself. And study it for your children. That's our responsibility. And I want you to do that. The Lord wants you to do that. If you heed what I am telling you today, you will be saved both in this world and in the world to come. I get very concerned. I think more and more concerned about the world to come. And I want to be saved now. But even more, I want to be saved in the world to come. Now then, hear this serious warning. If you don't hear, if you don't willingly listen, you will get to the point where you will be unable. Not absolutely, but you will get into habits that will be like chains that will bind you. The concrete of your lifestyle with its habits would become more rigid. And as you practice whatever lifestyle you're living, it becomes more rigid. That's the way we human beings are. Now, when we want to change it and we have a mighty desire to change it, we can change it. But it becomes harder and harder. And you may not have the ability to change eventually. Oh, if you really did pull it together, and I'm speaking practically, And the fact is, if you don't live as you should, then that misbehavior will eventually be set in concrete. One thing I found about the culture around here is that if you hold a job where you work too many hours to worship God, then you're living an honorable life, no matter what else you do with your life. No. No. Such a life is honorable or may be honorable in this culture, but it is most certainly not honorable before God. So you need to think about that, you know? What is your attitude? And then choosing a life partner. So I'm giving you various categories for you to think about. Choosing a life partner. I'm using the terms here very advisedly. In today's culture, you could choose a man or a woman to be your life. That's not the way God made it. That's not the way it was to begin with. But you could choose a man or a woman. You could also choose to get married or just live together, known as shacking up. Oh, nobody uses that kind of word anymore. That's right, because we all want to paint it with whitewash. We want to make it look good. It's fornicating. That's it. That's what you're doing. You live without the benefit of marriage. That's what you're doing. You're living in fornication. You can attempt to beautify what you're doing if you do that, but it remains without honor and without foundation. That's it. So when you get to the end of your life, you're going to find that you're going to find out you have a house of cards. And it may be a life partner or a month partner. How about that? A month partner or a year partner. See, what is your plan? Now, you may be too young to plan. Now, that's all right. But you need to think. What are you aiming for? What is your goal? Love. Love will not be a valuable commodity in the relationship. That what you want? Love will not be a valuable commodity in the relationship. And when the man or the woman is no longer young and good looking, they can be exchanged. Oh, nobody does that, do they? It is so common. Unfortunately. And all that I'm saying, one thing you're going to have to realize, and I'm addressing myself to those of you who are young, one way or the other. One thing you're going to have to realize is that you will not always be young and good looking. Sometimes we'll go to a mall. I don't know. Anyway, sometimes we'll go to a mall. And I'll look at the people. I'll look at the way they behave. I'll look at the way they're dressed. And I don't see much to recommend to me. I don't. But I also see people, I see people who don't know what they have. They don't know what they have. And they're throwing away what they have. Because they don't know anything. They don't know what matters. What matters. What matters is good and evil. And I hope you understand that. I hope you do. I hope you do understand that. Do you know what you will have? Do you know what you will have when you are no longer healthy, young, and good looking? I don't really know if I could ever claim to have been all of the above. But I at least have been young. And boy, did I make mistakes. Now I pray regularly for mistakes that I made. I hope you spend a lot of your time giving thanks for what you are and what God has made of you, and praying that He will forgive you for your failures. I spend a lot of time doing that. So, I repeat the question, do you know what you will have when you're no longer healthy, young, and good-looking? And you don't have a family that loves you, and you are lost, and without hope? Do you know what you will have? N-O-T-H-I-N-G. Nothing. That's what you will have. Now you can have everything. Everything. The Lord makes it available. And eventually, you know what will matter? Whether you're saved or not. And that's all. That's what will matter. So, my friends, men and women, boys and girls, I want you to know that. You can have everything, but you'll get that from God. If you don't get it from God, then you're going to wind up with nothing. So heed the warnings that we've looked at. Heed the warnings. Seek the Lord and live your life His way before the evil days come nigh. So I'm going to turn over to that Ecclesiastes. And it's worth it to read that one book. One book, that one verse. Ecclesiastes chapter 12. Remember also thy Creator in the days of your youth, before the evil days come and the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them, before the sun and the light and the moon and the stars are darkened, and the clouds return after the rain. In the day when the keepers of the house shall tremble, and the strong men shall bow themselves, and the grinders cease because they are few, and those that look out of the window shall be darkened, and the doors shall be shut in the street, when the sound of the grinding is low, and one shall rise up at the voice of a bird, and all the daughters of music shall be brought low. Yea, they shall be afraid of that which is high, and terrors shall be in the way. And the almond tree shall blossom, and the grasshopper will be a burden, and desire shall fail, because man goeth to his everlasting home, and the mourners go about the streets, before the silver cord is loosed, or the golden bowl is broken, or the pitcher is broken at the fountain. or the wheel broken at the cistern, and the dust returneth to the earth as it was, and the spirit returneth unto God who gave it. This is what we're all headed for. If we have God, we have everything. If we don't have God, we have nothing. I've lived a good many years. And the longer I live, the more I am concerned with what's going to happen next. Are you concerned about what's going to happen next? Oh, I want you to be. I want you to be, and I want you to do something about it. I know God wants you to do something about it. So, I tell you what I want. That's not the point. It's what God wants. So I hope you will give heed to this lesson. I wish you well. All of you. All of you. You know, I have to realize that who's young has changed some. There are more young people now than there used to be. But anyway, for all of you, I hope you will take this lesson and give it your attention and practice it. Practice it. That's what I hope you will do. So if you're not a Christian, you need to start there. Start with becoming a Christian. If you haven't become a Christian, you haven't started yet. You haven't. You haven't got to square one yet. Please. Take that first step and become a child of God. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Repent of your sins. Confess your faith and be baptized, as the Lord says, for the remission of your sins. If you're subject to the invitation, we hope you will come as we stand and sing.
There's a great day coming.